stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. And don't be entangled again in a yoke of bondage. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 22 of Matthew, verse 33. Matthew 22, verse 33. And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." I don't know about you, but I'm glad that Jesus came. And he sure made things simpler, didn't he? He says, "This is it, guys. This is my commandment, that you love and love one another. That you abide in my love, my agape love, the higher love, the highest love, the love of God. This is a selfless love, an unidirectional love, a love that loves irregardless of the value of the object that's being loved. For God so loved the world." Come on, somebody. Even Jesus hanging on that cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Such love. "And greater love hath no man than this, that a man would give his life for a friend." But Jesus not only died for his friends, his disciples, but he died for you and I who are his enemies. All of us at one time were enemies, weren't we? But now we have been reconciled, brought back into relationship through the grace which is in the Lord Jesus, by his ability, by his grace, and not by our own goodness or our own works. So on these two commandments, what? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and the second, love your neighbor. Romans 13 and verse 8 says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law." "For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." If we could focus on these two commandments, folks, it will deliver us from all the do's and don'ts. And our focus has got to be Jesus Christ, his blood and his righteousness, and not ourselves. Whenever I am trusting in myself to earn or to justify myself, I fail miserably, because there's no grace that I can give myself that will give me victory over myself or over this world. The ability has to come from the Lord himself and not from self. God is delivering us from dependence upon ourselves. And God will allow things in your life to bring you to a place where you will understand that I need him. And in the place of needing him is the place where his grace is lavished upon you and his life is expressed out of you authentically. It's got to be by God's grace and not by our works. Jesus came to give us rest. "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me." God is saying, "I am the Sabbath. I am your rest. I am the refreshing. I am the one who frees you from the lies of the enemy. I am the one who frees you from performance. I'm the one who frees you from yourself. God wants you to be free indeed. And our freedom is in Jesus Christ alone. Him being the sum total, the focus, the foundation. There is no other foundation that can be laid, and that's already been laid, and that is Christ Jesus. Amen? The Lord. You have to build your house upon His truth. For He is not just a truth, He is the truth. You build your life on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Life in the Lord is not based upon how much we know or even how much we do, but how much we love. Life in the Spirit is not based upon how much we know or even how much we do, but how much we love. Our doing has to be motivated by the agape or the love of God. It can't be for any selfish reasons. It can't be because I get noticed by doing these things. It can't be because I want to be important that I do these things. It can't be that I even get the goosebumps when I do these things. It has to be because I love. Because I love people. Therefore, I minister to people. It has to be because I love God. Therefore, I minister unto the Lord. Amen? What I do is as unto the Lord. Whether it be working your job, everything that you do is to be an expression of worship unto the Lord. Amen? There's not a distinction between the natural and the supernatural. God wants to supernaturalize the natural. You understand? What I'm doing in the natural is an act of worship. If I'm a man of integrity, if I speak the truth, if I'm a hard-working person, if I'm somebody that can be trusted, how many know that is an act of worship unto the Lord? If I'm the same way when the boss is there as when the boss is away, everything that we do is what? Before the Lord and unto Him. If I serve as unto the Lord, then even what I do on my job will bear witness of that. Because if the boss is not there or somebody's not looking or, you know. Sometimes, folks, we think that our spirituality is just gaining more information. More knowledge, you know. So that we can impress people with what we know. If we're going to gain understanding and knowledge, it should be so that, first of all, we can be changed by it. Our minds can be renewed. Amen. But also that we can be an expression of Christ to others. We need the Word and the Spirit working together. Amen. If you are functioning in the Word without the Spirit, you are a legalist. And the letter of the law destroys. It doesn't help people. Have you ever heard a message that after you heard it, you heard probably truth, but instead of feeling built up or edified, even if it was a correction, if it's a correction by the Spirit, it'll still edify. It's always to build up. It's never to destroy. Amen? Have you ever heard a message where you walked out of saying, man, I felt condemned. I just felt like there was no life. You know, God doesn't do that to us. The Spirit of the Lord convicts us. The devil accuses us. You hear it? He points the finger and says, look what you did. The Spirit of the Lord says, you know what you did. You know what you got to do. Amen? Repent. Confess it. Taken care of. Done. Under the blood. Don't dig it back up. Amen? Because the devil will come along and try to accuse you and say, yeah, it ain't been taken care of yet. You haven't repented enough times over that sin. So here, you want it back? And you say, talk to the hand, devil. Jesus has already taken care of it. My trust is on what He says. My faith is in what He says. So if God says, confess your sins, and He's faithful and just to what? Then receive that forgiveness. And say, thank you, Lord. Based upon your word, I am forgiven. The devil hates that. But we're not here to please him. We're here to please God, right? So we believe what God says. That's what pleases God. Amen? You know, we ask the question, well, What does it take to please God? Well, doing this, doing that. No, faith is what pleases God. Faith is what? Believing Him. Believing His Word. If you're going to obey His commandments, well, where's that commandment? That commandment is supposed to be on your heart by the Spirit. If you're in Christ, amen, you have the commandments written on your heart by the Spirit. And there's that little voice in you that says, this is the way, go this way, and no, don't go that way. You hear me? And sometimes we grieve the Spirit because we do something that the Lord says, not good. And inside you just feel like the air was lit out of your balloon. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And God's saying, okay, what do you got to do? Don't go run and hide. Run to the only one that can help you. Immediately talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that thought. I'm sorry for that coarse word, whatever it might be. But immediately deal with it. And don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to bed mad at your spouse or angry with people. Deal with it. What he means is, as soon as possible, deal with the problems that you have with your relationships. So it's not how much we know. It's not how much we do. It's how much we love. This is the commandment that everything is hinging on. Did you love? Did you love? And we're talking about not the love of the world that's just the feel-good, ooey-gooey feel. I like the feeling of love I get here. Kumbaya, you know. But it's the love that is an unhypocritical love. It is a love that loves the truth. The love of God rejoices in the truth. We want to know what's true. We want to, because what's true is authentic. I don't want to be duped, amen. I don't want to believe a lie and think it's true. I don't want to be deceived. I want the truth, and the love of God is rejoicing in the truth. So when I hear truth, even if it hurts, I say, ow! But thank you, Lord, that you love me enough to tell me the truth. Aren't you glad there's people in your life that will speak the truth to you? You may not love them right away, but like I said before, you know, the older I get, the smarter my parents get, right? Because they loved you enough to tell you the truth, even when they didn't know what they were really talking about. Now, we all know this so well, but I want to read it one more time from the New Living Translation. So if you don't have that version, just stay with me, please. I want to read it again. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. This is the agape. That's that word agape. Amen. That Jesus reintroduced into the world when he came. The love of God. Now, hear me. The devil wants to keep you and I focused on the evil in our lives. Why? Because he knows that we mentioned it this morning, we will become what we behold. Wrong focus. Focus on Jesus, his blood, his righteousness, his person. Amen? But don't focus on everything that's wrong with your life, because we are to die to that part of us. Amen? That is sinful. And we do that by simply starving it out, ignoring it, turning away every day, dialing, like Paul said, dying daily to that part of me. Yes. Speak to the hand. I'm not interested, not listening to you. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. He is my righteousness. He is my Holy One. He is the one who justifies me freely through His grace. It is not of me. It's not of works, lest I should boast. I'm not going to keep score of how good I did, because the question is how good is good enough, and when do I ever reach that place of being good enough? And a lot of times, folks, the enemy has just got even believers who God has already forgiven in condemnation because they're listening to the wrong voice. And like that song by Casting Crowns, I think it is, but the voice of truth tells me a different story. I need to listen to the voice of truth. What does God say about it? God said, if you confess your sins, faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. How many know that really well? You can quote that one. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So where do I find my liberty? In the Spirit of the Lord. Not in obedience to the law of commandments, but in the Spirit of the Lord, I find my liberty. And when I abide in the Spirit of the Lord, my motivations are governed by the Spirit of the Lord. My desires are governed by the Spirit of the Lord. What I do will be governed by the Spirit of the Lord because I'm abiding in Jesus. Amen? And I can bear the fruit of Him as I'm in Him, but only in Him can I bear that kind of fruit. The fruit of life. Is this making sense? So there's liberty in the Spirit of the Lord. I love this. Liberty by the Spirit. See, when Jesus showed up, folks, He came to liberate. He came to free the captives. He came to set them free from religious bondage and performance and commandments that were so numerous. And even the ones that the Pharisees had introduced that God never told them to do. They were straining out gnats, you know. They had a little screen that they put over their drinking cup, lest an unclean gnat got into their drink, right? And they drank that, and now they were defiled. They were ceremonially unclean. And it was such bondage, and nobody who was really being honest could say, I've done all that. I've lived a perfect life. Nobody. We'd all sinned. Everybody had fallen short. So God says, I'm going to give you freedom in exchange for your sin. I'm going to take your place. I'm going to be your substitute. I'm going to bear your sins. And then I'm going to release you into my righteousness, into my liberty. Free from condemnation. Free from fear. Free from fear of death. It's in my righteousness. In Christ, I am complete. In the Spirit of the Lord, I am free. As I abide, as I walk in a relationship with the Lord, I know what's going on. We talk. We commune. The Lord speaks. Amen. He speaks through His Word most often. As you read this book, and God, by the Spirit, will speak to your spirit. He'll highlight something. He'll be speaking to you. We listen for His voice in our daily walk, in our lives. And if the devil wants to come up and offer you something that God's already dealt with in your life, the Spirit of the Lord will say, hey, don't listen to him. He's a liar. He tells lies. He's trying to get you into fear. He's trying to get you back into condemnation. Because just face it, if we are living in condemnation, we're not going to have confidence in serving the Lord. He's going to end up shutting you down into fear and despair. Somebody say amen. He's going to take away your joy, amen, which is your strength. He's going to try to let the air out of you, if you will. He's going to try to rob you of your zeal for God. By getting you into fear and condemnation, by wrong focus, by getting you to focus on what's broken and what's wrong. The Spirit of the Lord will show us something, and then we confess it, and by faith we receive forgiveness. Canceled, done, over. The devil comes along and says, now, you haven't done enough penance yet. You haven't paid enough money. You haven't attended church enough. You haven't prayed enough. You haven't read your Bible enough. You haven't witnessed enough. You haven't, you haven't, you haven't, you haven't. And God says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. The key is to abide in Him in the Holy Spirit. There is righteousness and peace and joy. Do you get it? The devil wants to shift you away from focusing on Him to focusing on yourself. He wants to put you back in the position of being your self-savior. And as soon as you have wrong focus, if He can get you to focus in the wrong place, there's no grace, folks, that we can give ourselves to overcome this world. My hope is built on nothing less. Right? One of Jan's favorite songs, then, Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock we stand. All other ground. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Right? Freedom that comes in Christ keeps me free. Continue steadfast in Him. Don't be entangled, as it says in Galatians, with bondage again. The devil wants to take you out of freedom back into bondage. Anybody beside myself ever had that problem before? Ever been there? We struggle with that, don't we, sometimes? Because the enemy is very active. And you can see people are going through stuff. Now, let me just say this. Am I suggesting that we ignore our sins and errors? No. Because we are what? We are told to examine ourselves. The Holy Spirit is the one who will reveal to us, you know? But whenever the Holy Spirit does something, it's always redemptive in nature. Whenever He convinces us of sin, it's redemptive. It's for the purpose of bringing healing and restoration. To build you up, not to tear you down. The devil comes along to tear you down, to get you into condemnation. See, that's what's going on. You see, you've got to understand, we've got to listen to the right voice. And so we need to listen to what the voice of truth is saying. And we cannot know the truth except by the Word of God. That's why we need to know what God says. So that when His Spirit is ministering, we'll say, that's Jesus. Now, a religious spirit. Let's talk about this. Hate a religious spirit. A religious spirit is one that's based on performance and it's void of power. And it will very quickly bring you into condemnation. See, the religious spirit is really a demonic spirit that tries to impersonate the Holy Spirit and make you think it's God when actually it's the devil trying to put you back in condemnation. Because if you abide in condemnation, you'll never fulfill the purpose for which you were created. He will rob you of your destiny. That's what He's trying to do. He's not after your money, folks. He's after your faith. He wants to rob you of your faith. Take it away. Get you to doubt. And whenever we get into doubt, we fall from grace. Because it's by faith that we stand, that we overcome. So this spirit draws us away from the glory of God. And it brings us to a place of the tree of knowledge. This was the problem. That's what they wanted, the tree of knowledge. Oh, it'll make me wise. It'll make me be God. And what was going to be a self-serving thing. If I can just get a hold of that knowledge, then I'll be God. I'll be like God. And that's what the devil did. And that's what he tried, amen, with Adam and Eve and succeeded initially. So a religious spirit seeks to get us to hold on to a form of godliness rather than the power of God. So a religious spirit will bring a person into a place of tradition and keeping traditions of the ancestors or of church even traditions and somehow thinking that if I just do things a certain way in church, you know, then I will be justified. If I light the candles just right, if I wear the robe just right, and if I march just right and do everything according to the book that man wrote, that somehow, hopefully one of these days when I meet St. Peter at the pearly gates, you say, oh yeah, come on in. You did all that religious stuff in church. You should be justified for all that. No, that's a lie. There is no justification in what I do. My justification is in Jesus Christ alone and my faith in Him. If I am abiding in faith, then good fruit will be the result. If I'm bearing good fruit, it's because I'm abiding in Him. If I'm not bearing good fruit, it's because I'm not abiding in Him. It's just like that. So God is constantly trying to get our attention because the devil is screaming for your attention every day to get you, hey, over here, to get you distracted in your mind. He'll get you wrapped up in the media, in the internet, in the television, in games, and sports, whatever he can do to get you so wrapped up in the things of this world that you are missing out on your destiny, your divine destiny in God. Wasting priceless moments, you know, that God has given us. What did Jesus call us to do? He says, I called you to go and bear fruit. And much fruit. This is how my Father is glorified. Well, we can't do that unless we're abiding in the vine, unless we're continuing in Him. And the enemy is very good, isn't he? He's trying to get us even to trust in the things that we do. For example, well, I taught Sunday school. Well, folks, it even goes to this point. Again, we're talking about the love of God being the basis or the motivation for everything we do. People will say, well, Lord, I prophesied in your name. I cast out demons in your name. I did many wonderful works in your name. Surely these things should justify me. Are you hearing it? So even someone that was in his name were doing miracles. Some of those folks are not going to be there, folks. That's not what justifies you. The gifts and the callings are without repentance. God doesn't take them back. He gives you a divine deposit, amen? And He says, here, go and trade with what you have. But it's not based upon how spiritual I am. If I have been given something of God, I'm a steward. I'm responsible to do, amen, with it what He tells me to do with it. But even in those things, if I'm just out doing my own thing, thinking I'm pleasing God or trying to earn credit with God, forget it. You're in performance mode. And in performance mode, you're constantly going to be condemned. Why? Because you're setting a standard for yourself that God didn't set for you. And when you don't reach that standard, you don't reach that place where you think I've done enough or I've been good enough or whatever, then you feel condemned. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've been there, right? You haven't performed well enough. Whatever we do has to be motivated by the love of God. If we're going to move in the gifts of the Spirit, amen, it's got to be by the love of God. Everything else is worthless. I am nothing unless I have agape, the love of God. I can do all kinds of Christian things, and yet it can amount to zero unless it was in Him. It was by Him. And it was for Him. Do you get it? It's about abiding in the Spirit of God. And in the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. And that's why, for example, folks, today, when we had celebration, you know, and this crazy guy with a tambourine runs around, you know, the sanctuary, and a religious spirit would say, how could he do that? Because they're not understanding the liberty that is in Christ. As sons and daughters of the Most High God, He's our Father. Does God want gloomy children? No. No lemon suckers in the kingdom. Thank you. So there's liberty in the Spirit. We begin in the Spirit by faith in Jesus' blood and righteousness, and then we continue to walk with Him every day and just enjoy fellowship with the Lord, and I'm not in condemnation. Otherwise, if I shift back into law, I come back under fear, I come back under condemnation, I come back under this place where I don't know if I've done enough, if I've been good enough, if I'm going to make it. Are you hearing me? But when I'm in Him and I'm walking with Him, I have confidence. He's my confidence. My hope is alive in Him. Is it making sense? My faith is alive in Him. It's living faith in Him. But when I separate myself in the sense where I start to then focus on self, then I come back under, oh God, here goes another day. I have to do this. I have to do that. No, when you're in Him, it's I get to do this. I get to do that. I enjoy walking with Jesus. I enjoy telling people about Jesus. Are you hearing me? His motivations will be yours. His desire will become your desire. That's where it needs to be. He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Whew. The reason why I'm just spending so much time here, folks, is because if we don't get this right, if He's not the foundation of it all, if Jesus is not at the center of it all, if we don't get self out of the picture, then we're going to live a defeated life, because there is no grace that I can give myself, I'm going to repeat it again, that will give me victory over my flesh or the world or the devil. I need His grace. That is why God says, come to my throne. Pray. Seek my face. Come before His presence. Call upon the Lord. Amen. Come to Him for mercy. And come to Him for grace. You know, I was listening to Sandra. I don't know if she's in the nursery. That's a good place. She can, hi Sandra. And she can probably hear it through the... But you know, she was talking about how, you know, she's learning how to just to pray through everything. And she's talking about it, you know, in our meeting, how she prays and how God gives her grace. And she's able to overcome things, you know. Even if you have a problem with your temper, for example. Well, the grace that you need is in Him. I'm trying. You know, a tree doesn't bear fruit. It just abides, right? And it just bears fruit. I know you got that image. You got to get it out of your head now. It was bad. The Pharisees, hear it. These guys prayed, fasted, studied the scriptures more than anybody, and they were cold, lifeless, and vicious, because they are operating without realizing it under a demonic influence, presenting themselves as ministers of God. They were completely under the sway of Satan. And when Jesus, the Son of God, shows up, they didn't recognize Him. Who's this reigning on our parade? It was all, see, about them. And they prided themselves. Lord, I thank You that I'm not like other men. And they boasted how much they prayed and they studied the scripture and they fasted and they walked around with the great phylacteries and they wanted everybody to see, you know, how spiritual they were. And the focus was not on Christ, but on self. And Jesus came and said, hey, it's not about you. Oh, wrong thing to say. It's not about you and I today either. It's about Jesus. We want to make Him famous. Jesus has to be the center of it all. And so the enemy had these men bound in pride. You know, we can be proud of even good things. We can be proud of our accomplishments in the spirit. Wow, man, did you hear how I preached that sermon? Man, we nailed it on that song, you know. Or you see how that person fell down when we prayed for him, or how that person got healed, and the enemy comes and say, yeah, ain't you something? Hell, maybe I am. And it's just like, shoo. Lord says, we better hold off on the grace there. Come on. But God gives His grace to the humble. God gives His grace to the poor in spirit. He said, God, I can't do anything without You. And I don't want to do anything without You. I want to completely trust in Your ability here. So that I'm not out doing my own thing for myself, but I'm out doing Your thing for You. I am an ambassador. Amen. I don't want to get withdrawn from my assignment. I want to finish well, finish strong, and finish with joy because I'm doing what God told me to do because I'm representing His interests. So are you. You are to represent His interests. Amen. So let's come to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You today for the Word of God, the liberty that is in Christ Jesus. God, I just pray that You would set us free from every bit of religious pride, God, and spiritual pride, God, that we would understand, Lord, it is not about the vessel, but it is about the God of the vessel. Amen. Lord, we want to be the people that are after Your heart like David. Even though he failed, God, he still came back and knew that, God, You are his rock, that You are his sustenance, that You are his joy, his strength, his righteousness, everything is in You. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Oh, Lord, we're looking to You today for freedom. We're looking to You today for strength. God, I ask You to release Your grace right now upon Your body. Strengthen each one of us today with might in the inner man by Your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, break every yoke of the oppressor. Satan, the Lord, rebuke you. Take your hands off God's people right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.